Hello, welcome to GCSE Bite Size Science with Dr. Chris Smith and with Dr. Kat Arney. We're from The Naked Scientists. Now, looking around, you can see that the Earth is teeming with life, but we don't see the same plants and animals everywhere. It's clear that species are specialised to live in different habitats. So, Kat, can you talk us through some of the words that we use when we're discussing this sort of thing? For instance, what do we mean by the environment?
Well, this simply means the conditions that surround a living organism, such as the weather, the available food, water, predators and so on. Now, we describe plants and animals as living in habitats, and we call all the members of a single species in that habitat a population.
But you don't get places with just one type of animal or plant in them, do you?
No, that's true. You get communities, which is the term we use to describe all the populations that live in a particular place. And we use the word ecosystem to describe a community together with its habitat. So that would be all the different animals and plants living in that environment, in that place.
So give us an example of that.
Well, a simple pond is an ecosystem. In a pond habitat, you've got the plants, the microorganisms and the insects that live in and around the pond. And of course, you've got fish in the pond and you've got birds like herons that eat them.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, we don't see the same sorts of plants and animals everywhere. So why actually is that?
Well, you're right. We don't see cacti living at the North Pole, and we certainly don't see polar bears in the desert. And this is because animals and plants adapt to their environment and their habitat, evolving special features that mean they can thrive there.
So why do we only get polar bears in the Arctic?
Well, these beautiful animals are really well adapted to survive in the extreme cold up there. For example, they've got thick blubber and fur to insulate them from the cold. And their fur is also quite greasy, which helps to keep it waterproof when they go for a dip in that freezing cold water. Of course, their fur also appears white. It's actually kind of see-through. And this means they're fairly well disguised against the snow and ice when they go hunting. Another thing is they've got big old feet to spread their weight on thin ice. And finally, bears are quite big and compact, meaning they have a low surface area to volume ratio. So this means they lose heat slowly, helping to keep the heat in.
Are there any more animals that are up there and adapted like this?
Well, another good example is the snowshoe hare, which has white fur in the winter when it needs to hide from predators against the snow and ice. But in the summer, its coat changes to a reddish-brown colour so it can hide against rocks once the snow's melted.
What about the plants?
As you can imagine, the Arctic's pretty inhospitable for plants because it's very cold, it's also very windy, and there's very little rain. So plants up there don't grow very tall, and they've got really small leaves, so they keep in their water and they don't get damaged by the wind.
Thanks, Kat. So we've looked at the adaptations used by plants and animals to survive in the extreme cold. And in part two, we'll find out about the opposite situation, how organisms survive in very hot conditions and how they compete for resources.